You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 20 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Martin Smith from Anchor on a red day in the markets, but also that Woolies update. Also chatting with Satrix, investing inclusive, diverse workforces for better investment returns. And then Paul Rue de Kock from Lightstone. House prices. Remember, house prices had a booming 2020. I want to get a sense of how's 2021 been so far. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. The narrowing crypto arbitrage gap is a passing phase. Remember that idea that you buy it offshore, you sell it local, you make some easy money. That's faded away for now. That gap has narrowed. It has narrowed before and probably will widen again. The point is, if the gap's too narrow, there is no arbitrage there. Business Day, Remgro forks out $3.7 billion to tap into the home fiber opportunities. One of the companies that they have staken is doing a rights issue, and they're going to be following those. It's the Community Investment Ventures Holdings, focusing particularly, as I say, on that fiber to the home. Morning markets are red all over the place. US, we've got the S&P off 1.6%, NASDAQ down 0.9%. In Asia, we've got Sydney and Tokyo both down 0.3%. Commodities mixed overnight. Gold, $1,817 an ounce. Rand, $1,456. Top 40, looking for red open, but 30 points down, which is what, 0.05%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Martin Smith, portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Martin, appreciate the early morning time. I want to get to that Woolies update we saw early yesterday morning. Before we chat on that, a rough day. I mean, globally, markets under pressure. South Africa didn't escape, but our resources in particular, our miners, they've been under pressure the last couple of weeks. And I mean, I'm scratching my head. Commodity prices have more or less stayed where they are. The rand, if anything, is actually a little bit weaker. Why the aggressive selling in miners, do you think?
So, I mean, I think you're in a similar boat to us in terms of scratching your head. We sometimes make the joke at the office to say, why is the market down? You'll be like, oh, more sellers than buyers. It kind of was like that yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Like fundamentally, there wasn't anything massively moving the market, but it just seems like it's a massive fear around this Delta variant and a massive risk off that we've seen. And like you said, it's affecting everything from offshore to South Africa. And I think just around fears of growth coming back and COVID recovery being as smooth as we hoped it would have been a couple of weeks ago. But I think the seesaw volatility is something that we've literally seen over the last kind of 6 to 9 months. So I'm just holding out and using it as a little bit of a buying opportunity.
Okay, that's going to be my question. I mean, is this then the selling? And I see Sabania, which I hold, taking a hiding. Actually, an opportunity here to perhaps pick up some shares we like at maybe better prices.
I really do think so, because again, it's nothing massively fundamental, but it just seems like there's a massive spook in the market at the moment around this Delta variant and fears growing in the US around the number of deaths growing there. So again, we've seen this volatility seesaw, as I like to call it, over the last kind of 6 to 9 months. Just, I think it's playing out. So I think it's a good opportunity.
Yeah, and nothing goes up in a straight line. I mean, that certainly is an old truth. The Woolies update, they gave us some update on the impact of the riots of last week. The Woolies seem to have come out of that better than many others. But their operational update, which was, 52 weeks to almost the end of June. What did you make of that?
Yeah, so you're absolutely correct. I mean, they got off a lot better than some of the other retailers, guys like Pick and Pay. Mm-hmm. So they only had 11 of their stores that were affected. And they did speak about the fact that they were covered on that. And they only had one of their distribution centers in KZN affected. But also, they said nothing massively material. So they got a bit lucky in that regard. And again, they are covered. So that's positive for the group. But like you said, their operational performance is also, I think, quite a decent number, almost 10% of the top line, 5.9% in constant currencies. And I think the big one is also the food division, because obviously it was coming off quite a high base, and we had stockpiling kind of this time last year, and people thought, okay, the food division might come under pressure, but did very, very well. I think it was up in the region of 6.9% year on year, which is very positive. It was driven by volumes as well as market share growth. So positive from that regard.
Yeah, that was my sense. A nice looking update. Quick last question. Going back to last week, that Richmond update, I got to say, I got Richmond wrong. That update was spectacular. I didn't expect it to be quite so much. The market was a bit sanguine, but I mean, really, that I thought was a top update.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's incredibly strong. And I think it's not something we've seen just from Richmond, but just global luxury in general has been on an absolute tear in the last little while. And I think the bulls will use this as another data point to talk about a luxury super cycle. There's also this talk of maybe people shift to experiences from goods as the world reopens and we get a roaring 20s type experience. But again, for me, the big thing with Richmond is the valuation. I mean, it's at a 29 times forward on a 12-month basis. Historically, it's at a 19 times. Even if you have an upgrade in earnings of around 10%, I mean, this still puts it on a 26 times forward. So if I hold it, I'm a reluctant holder. But yeah, a lot of momentum in that space.
Yeah, a lot of momentum, a lot of valuation. That stock has been in an absolute tear. Traded almost 182 last week, coming down to just under 170. That's Martin Smith, Portfolio Manager, Anchor Capital. A question today on our social media, LinkedIn and Twitter. What did you make of that Woolies update? Better than expected, about as expected, a bit weak. I thought better than expected. We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insight into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider, license number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Siyabo Lela. Normo, he's a quantitative portfolio manager at Satrix here. Appreciate the early morning time. You're coming out with a new ETF next month. We'll get to that. The methodology is going to be fundamentally different. You're focusing on inclusion, diversity. The phrase which came out in the release was sort of putting that S into the ESG. We talk a lot about environment. We talk a lot about governance. The social part sitting in the middle perhaps doesn't get its deserved airtime and focus quite often.
Yes, thanks Simon for having me on the show. There is a lot of talk about inclusion and diversity, both from the local and the global space. So Satrix has had a view that this type of thing would be a great ESG-linked product with a huge focus on the S. And as most of the time, I mean, E and the G on the ESG is quite easier to measure. So we wanted a product which focuses more on the social side.
Yeah, I want to get to that measurement, but what it includes, I mean, it's inclusion and diversity. So of course it's going to be gender, it's going to have race, but it's broader than that. I mean, it's disability, it's policies, for example, on mental health and HIV, you know, flexible working, daycare. It's about making a well diverse, but also a workplace that actually just sounds like a place you want to work, which is going to, the logic is simple. That's going to make for better work environment and therefore better outcomes, and the numbers back that up.
Yes. So quite a lot of the products which are quite in the similar space tend to focus more on the diversity side. So they just look at the gender split. Mm-hmm. So with this product, we've also looked at things like flexible hours, where we're speaking a lot more on the inclusion, so that workspaces move from only just diverse to a space where the workforce is also included and also has equal access to opportunities and resources in the company. So we look at companies whether they have policies as you've mentioned, HIV/AIDS. Also the alignment as well in terms of the shareholders of the portfolio. So BE is also included as one of the metrics. And also, if the company also trains its own people, so we're looking at average training hours, internal promotions, and also employee satisfaction as well, and any news and controversies out there. So it's quite unique in that way.
And it is a case of, I mean, Deloitte survey was looking at the Fortune 500, so offshore, but the logic remains the same. I mean, if you've got that diversity, you know, I've often been critical with respect to a board of, you know, 12 pale males. You know, there's no diversity. You know, how are they going to be innovative? They're all going to have the same sort of groupthink. And it is about breaking down that groupthink. And the data does say these companies are likely to be more innovative, more able to anticipate change, which is in the current 2021 pandemics, global warming, etc., is exactly what you need at the head of that company and filtering through the organization.
Yes, and looking at the South African front, I mean, there's certainly room for great inclusivity and diversity in the South African corporate sector. Mm-hmm. And our product is designed to actually track and highlight the process being made and to hopefully increase dialogue as well and around the success of individual businesses. Change does take time, and we look forward to playing a role in highlighting the gains made in South Africa in this space.
Yeah, I like that point. Change does take time, but if we shine a bit of a light, we get there. You're bringing an ETF out next month. You're going to be using, is it the Refinitiv Inclusion and Diversity Index? Talk a bit about that. It's going to be local equity, is it not?
Yes, so we identified Refinitiv as having very strong capabilities in this space. Mm-hmm. They already have a global product in this space working with BlackRock. So we wanted to have this product in the South African market, only focusing on JSE-listed companies. So it's going to be a South African market for the South African people, and it's going to be focusing on diversity, inclusion, people's development, also the news and controversies. It's going to be constructed based on a lot of metrics, which is pulled from data points collected by Refinitiv.
We'll leave that there. We'll chat again when it gets close. As I said, that new ETF will be coming out in August. Obviously, it'll be on the Sense, and you'll be able to get it wherever your stockbrokers are. Sibulela Nwoya, Quantitative Portfolio Manager at Satrix, appreciate the early morning. We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insight into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider, license number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Jenny and I with Poru de Kock, Analytics Director at Lightstone. Poru, appreciate the early morning. We chatted, I think it was late last year, early this year, in terms of house price gains, which had a surprisingly good 2020. I say surprisingly because pandemic. Question is have the price increases held into 2021? Have we seen further increases in the sale prices?
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, certainly there is a bit of good news in the property market. We've seen that at a national level, house price growth is still positive. Mm-hmm. I think to put all of our numbers in context, though, is that all of our numbers are nominal house price growth. So as CPI increases, it has a negative effect on real house price growth. But certainly, just looking at whether properties in general are getting more valuable, we've seen an increase with the National House Price Growth Index breaking through 5% in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, 5% is a chunky number. Are we seeing certain segments, geographies? I know that last year was a lot of the sort of the lower cost housing, sort of sub 1.2, 1.5 million. Has that trend continued, and have we got certain geographies doing better than others, or perhaps doing worse?
Yeah, so what we've seen actually over the last 5 years is that the very low end affordable market, so those are areas where the average property price is less than 250,000 rand, which is actually quite a large portion of our property market. But we've seen that part of the market grow at double-digit growth for quite a long while. And that has now normalized a bit and come closer to the national average. And then another interesting wealth segment that we often track as a leading indicator of what will happen with the rest of the market is the what we could term the luxury property market. But those are basically areas where the average property value is greater than 1.5 million rand.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the luxury market tracks or leads the national market through peaks and troughs by about 3 months. And a very interesting and exciting thing that's happening in that market is we've seen a very strong bounce back after the lockdown in the luxury property market.
So that is coming through. How's the lending environment? Or, I mean, I'm assuming if we're seeing sales happening and prices picking up, banks are out there lending to prospective buyers.
Yeah, so usually about half of properties transacting are bonded.
Mm-hmm.
So the other half are either transfers that happens without an actual sale or sales that's funded by the sale of previous properties without a bond needed. So usually it's about half of properties, just over 50% of properties sales are bonded. During quarter two and quarter three of 2020, as we came out of the lockdown, that shot up to over 60%, which told us that the banks play quite an active role in the recovery. It normalized closer to 50% now in the last quarter. But I think certainly the fact that we came out of lockdown with a 300 basis point drop in interest rates from a year before that, definitely helped, especially the higher end markets where that drop in interest rates plays a massive part in the monthly installments that people have to pay.
Yeah, and the lowest interest rates in a generation or two certainly helping. Last question. I mean, we're still, you know, we're under level four. There's still COVID restrictions, challenges. How's that impacting industry? I'm thinking show days. I'm thinking just the process of registering at you know, the transfer of the property. Are we sort of learning to live with that, or is that still creating unnecessary challenges?
So we serve the real estate industry. We probably have about 70% of estate agents using our systems. And what we've seen by just tracking the usage of our own systems is that estate agents are getting much more digital savvy. So they're much more resilient than what we anticipated and are getting better at finding other ways to market properties than things like show days. But the industry certainly had to adapt to become a lot more digital.
Yeah, I remember chatting with Baldwin, and they were saying that they'd suddenly had to go into the online space, and that was actually working fairly well. Paul Rudecock, Analytics Director at Lightstone, appreciate the early morning time. That's the show for today. Our poll yesterday, which we asked on our LinkedIn and Twitter, and we encourage you to go and have your vote and have your say. We asked around buying cashboard. We had Petri Radenhuis from Herenia on, and he was saying that the chart wasn't the best-looking bullish chart, but it was certainly perhaps breaking. Of course, the stock then sold off yesterday, making us all look wrong. But our question was, are you perhaps buying some cashboard as a rebuilding trade, as people need to go and rebuild from the destruction, violence, and rioting of last week? Almost half of you were absolutely no way, not interested. But a quarter were saying, yep, you certainly are. And then a third of you were saying, we are certainly considering it. I'm in that considering point. I'm keeping a close eye on it. And perhaps if we see some more weakness, as Martin Smith was saying at the top of the show, weakness might actually be some opportunity. You can have your vote. You can have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter social medias. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, we are live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 on the MoneyWeb website, app, and of course, wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Eleanor, and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the Money.